Welcome, everybody. This is the meeting of the Tooele Valley Rural Planning Organization, and anyone not at the table is welcome to come sit at the table. We're a fairly informal group. Meeting Monday, December 10th, from beginning at 1:35 p.m. in the Tooele City Hall Large Conference Room. So, why don't we go around the room with introductions? And I'm Wayne Bennion with the Wasatch Front Regional Council.
Kim Clausing, Tooele County Health.
Jim Bolster, Community Development Director for Tooele City.
Levi Roberts with Utah Transit Authority.
Pat Kalos, Granite Construction Company.
Great. Brad Cameron, U.ITS.
Brad Palmer, U.Region 2.
James Waltz, Grantsville City Public Works Director.
Bree Vinnahus with Public Involvement for Mid Valley Highway.
Great, thank you.
Yep.
Appreciate everybody being here. So, thank you. Let's see, any comments on the meeting minutes from October 1st?
I don't have any comments, but I read through them.
All right. I noticed one obvious error that we'll correct, and that's, you're good. Meeting date at the top there should read October 1 rather than October 2. But anybody care to make a motion to?
I'll make a motion
regarding
to approve
those?
The minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. Any second? If you want.
I would, but I wasn't there, so I'm going to abstain from voting anyway.
Fair enough.
Was I the only one there?
All set.
No.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
I just had one read really quick, sorry.
No, it's good to read something before you make any motion on it. So,
true.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Those will
stand. I'm a record almost abstained since I wasn't there.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Very good. All right.
I'm in the RPO meeting. Where are you going here?
So, as you may recall, at the October meeting, we received several comments on the highway phasing, 2040 highway phasing map. That summarizes the highway element of the Tooele Valley Transportation Plan. And so if you wouldn't mind taking a look at these, or at this map, and I'll just briefly review which comments we incorporated and go from there. We added the widening of Burmester Road going from Grantsville Main Street up to I-80. That exists currently, but there was we received input at last meeting to add that as a widening project. And then we modified the color on the second and third phases of Mid Valley Highway, and also the SR-201 extension up by the area to help it be clear that the alignment is yet to be determined on those particular facilities, or that it's actively being evaluated presently. And then we also added the Ochre Expressway piece from Lake Point area down to Drew Bay. And then we also modified the connection from that southern road that goes along, or proposed road to be built along the southern edge of Grantsville, that connection over to 400 West was modified so that it goes slightly further north. So hopefully we addressed all the comments from the last meeting. But if not, please let us know. Now's a good time to let us know. Or if there are additional comments, we're happy to address those as well. All right, we'll assume we're good. And then one other...
Wayne, can I?
Yes, please.
There's a dotted yellow line on here, but it's not part of your...
legend? Yeah, so it's not a part of the legend, but we've moved it to the footnote there at the bottom. And it is pretty fine print, but that footnote basically says the alignment of that facility, the Mid Valley Highway phases 2 and 3, and then the SR201 extension are being evaluated and likely to change from what's shown on the map.
Okay.
So, any further comments or questions? All right, thank you. And then also, you'll recall we distributed a brief summary of the transit portion of the plan, and then got some additional feedback, and added a sixth bullet on the near-term transit element to include a feasibility study examining the potential for future high-capacity transit from Tooele County to Salt Lake County. So that was an addition from since last meeting.
Yeah, and if I could comment on that, I think that actually came from Lara, from my supervisor.
Yep.
You know, in general, I think we know what service we have now for transit in the valley. We're kind of saying, okay, we're going to be, we'll reevaluate as demand grows in the valley. But certain investments take long-term planning. And so we don't really have a good handle on what the long-term vision is for transit. And so a feasibility study that looks at really all the options and can get us, okay, what's the long-term solution for transit? And then kind of what are the interim steps to get there?
Right.
It would be kind of the goal of that. And planning at UTA, we put a little bit of money in the budget in 2019 to pay for this, but we still need to work on getting the whole kind of funding for that. We just put, I think, $25,000 in our budget, but it would probably take about $150,000 to fund a robust study like that. So, we're kind of having some discussions on how to fund it completely, but. But yeah, we saw a need for it, but definitely this would be a partnership with the county, with the cities, to determine what the scope of that a study like that would be and how to fund that. So I don't know if anybody had any other questions or thoughts on that, but that's what we put in there.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah.
That's helpful. Very good. Yeah. With the highway phasing map, the summary of the transit element and the active transportation maps that you've seen previously, and if you want to take a final look at those, you're welcome to. But I think we're ready to put this out for public comment, and wanted to get some feedback on, or some input as to when would be the best timing for maybe a month-long public comment period on the highway active transportation and transit pieces.
So you're wondering what time of year would be good?
So I'm kind of thinking either January or February-ish time frame, but would love to get some feedback both as to timing and also if an open house and putting it on the WFRC website is sufficient, or if you'd like to advertise it in city and county newsletters, or how you would prefer to approach things.
Do we have timeline for adoption that has to be pushed?
It would be good to adopt it before June is the only time frame I'm
aware
of.
How long do you anticipate leaving it open for comment?
Just 30 days.
So if you leave it advertised in February, leave it open for 30 days, you're in March, is a month and a half really time to make revisions or corrections if need be?
Right. Yeah. And so the anticipation would be to bring it back to this group after the public comment period and review any public comments if there are anything, and there might well be. And then, yeah, it would be good to have a month or so to.
So that would leave, if we follow our current pattern, that would mean we either have to have this discussion in the middle of the second week of February or the second week in April.
Right. Yeah. And so following the current pattern of meetings, it would be ideal to either have the public comment period in January or any time before February or April. Although I'm open, if the group is interested in, meeting the second Monday in March or sometime in March, I'm open to adjusting the schedule. The past couple of years, UDOT has held their local government's annual local government meeting out in Twilla in, as it so happens, on the second Monday in April, and so sometimes we've not had as long or even had an April meeting. So,
can I ask how you're collecting the feedback? Is it just like the other ones where you click on the map and give your input and then it's gathered that way? Is that how it's?
So that's, I believe we'll have the option to do that. And that would probably be a primary source. It's probably also advisable to have an in-person open house option so that those who either don't have internet access or for whatever reason would want to come to a physical open house.
So I'll just add this input. Like, my job for the past 16 years has been reaching out to the Twilla County public to get them to change their health habits. Uh-huh. One of them is trying to get them to walk and bike. So for 16 years, I try to advertise against the advertisers that are trying to promote unhealthy habits, like your Coca-Cola companies, your McDonald's. Sorry, I'm just gonna say it, but that's what I'm up against. So, reaching out to the public has been something that we as the health department do. About 76% of our population travels in on that road every day into Salt Lake County.
They're usually on the road between 40 minutes to an hour going in, 40 minutes to an hour coming back, if it's a good day. Trying to get them to attend a meeting is great. If you really want the true commuter's input, you've got to give them some type of infrastructure mm-hmm. that they can make a comment at their time and at their pace. I've taken Wasatch Front Regional Council's post on Facebook before where for the region outlook, and I put it on the Stansbury page, that's a Facebook page, I put it on the Twill Forum, and I tell people, go and make comments on this map. I get a lot of people coming back going, I don't know how to do it, I don't know what to do. And so I've had to myself show them step by step in the comments how to do it. So for one, make it easy for them to make a comment. Mm-hmm. For two, maybe give them a list of options to comment on. Or maybe a tutorial that's just a brief tutorial. This is how you use our map and how you leave information. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's really helpful. Yes, I think an open house would be great as long as it's advertised long enough ahead of time, like 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time. But you know, other than that, you know, it's a really hard population to reach sometimes, and then even the ones that do reach out are the ones that always reach out.
Okay, so sure.
That's just my 2 cents. So.
Thank you, appreciate that. Other input on, we're just been asking for input on timing of public comment period for the highway transit and active transportation pieces of the Valleywide Transportation Plan, and both timing and methods and for receiving public comment.
Have you considered the Ochre Expressway?
Yes, and so we updated the map to include the Ochre Expressway, and the alignments I was given from the county come down to somewhere in past Bates Canyon, and so we did not use, there used to not be a connection between Lake Point and Bates Canyon area, but we've added that in, and then included a widening of Drew Bay to as something to help have that play, have that give them a couple options to funnel into.
Would you reconsider that?
Sure.
And stay above the railroad tracks, particularly there at Bates Canyon, from Bates Canyon on down to what is that, 1200, that area in there. We think we have a right-of-way. We just talked to Kennecott this morning, and they are willing to go on the 201 bypass road, completely missing I-80, to go around that corner, and they will provide the property for us mm-hmm. to do that, at least 150, maybe 200-foot right-of-way.
Okay.
To go all the way around there, and then Robinson's, and that other property. So it comes over above the railroad tracks before it comes back in here. So we've got a good way to go.
And where is that envisioned to tie into Drew Bay?
Probably won't tie into Drew Bay. I'll have to get my map out to show you, but it goes something, well, my pen won't write. Something like that.
Okay.
So it's up a little bit higher than what you have listed there, and we're trying to get the right-of-way established so that when UDOT asks for it, that we've got a right-of-way there.
Okay.
And right now we've got commitments for that whole thing at this point.
Okay. And so that would be an additional facility to the east.
Yeah.
Would any of this western portion go away?
Well, the problem with Drew Bay is it's pretty narrow.
Right.
And it'll be. It would be a similar situation to 36 because there are too many driveways on that road to remake it a collector.
Okay.
And if you look at that very carefully, you'll find that, I don't know the number, but there are dozens of driveways that would impede the traffic. It would be particularly challenging for safety.
Okay.
And so that was our reason for approving the one to go above,
right,
with connections from, any place we could get a connection, Bates Canyon perhaps, but to get over there.
Right.
We're getting a right-of-way established wide enough that we would hope that we can have a bus route and or a trail along much of that as possible. I can't guarantee it'll be all of it, but we'd like to have that included in the trail system so that what would happen was that you'd be able to take a trail from clear into Tooele City itself and go all the way around, and we'd like to see it go around the corner. I don't know if the topography will allow that or not, but that would be something we'd really like to see.
Commissioner, was that road supposed to stay always on this side of the railroad track?
Above it.
Above it all the way?
Take it over in here, and I don't remember the... It may be right there.
It connects there.
Yeah, it may be that connection.
So it might be right there, but otherwise it was planned to stay on that side?
Yes.
East side, okay.
And there's another reason is, the main reason is the economics of it.
Mm-hmm.
The second reason, we have to displace no utilities. We don't. There may be a water line or two going through there, but that would be the only thing.
Okay.
And right now, by designating that, we can do it so much cheaper than if we came down through Drewby, for example, and had to displace those houses.
Yep.
So we could have a safer road. Because right now, the Drewby Road would be 35, 45 mile an hour, maybe.
Right.
Whereas up above, you could have an expressway speed of 55 or possibly 60 in there,
okay,
depending on the composition of the road. So that would be really exciting.
Right.
That's one thing we're looking forward to.
Thank you. And so would Drew Bay not be widened to a five-lane section then?
At this point, I don't think that's our first choice.
Okay.
Yeah. You talk to the residents on Drew Bay and they absolutely don't want to do that. They say it's too wide, too fast right now.
Yes.
Because people go too fast down there.
I've been passed many times.
Yeah, that's hazardous. Well, she almost goes the speed limit, so getting past would be pretty challenging.
I know.
And what about Tooele City? Widening, should I remove widening
right.
to Tooele City?
What do you think,
or?
Jim? I mean, we've got some of our, subdivisions on this other side of the road there. And
it's south of Smelter's going to be really, really tricky to do any sort of widening.
Because it goes right through our golf course.
Yeah, the last one.
So I don't know that. That could ever be five lanes through there.
I don't see this five lanes.
Yeah, build me a new golf course.
North of
stacked.
But
north of Smelter, we've got more room, and there's we still have development on the west side, but the east side is still wide open, with the exception of Car Fork, which is set way back. Five would probably still be pretty tight through there, but you could probably be accommodated through.
I don't know if I want five lanes south of 1000 North. Would you
need it?
I mean, geez, we got a school half a block from there that kids are crossing that road. That just is crazy.
Yeah, it could be pretty troublesome south of 1000.
the city limits there on Drew Bay Road and north. We don't care so much, maybe.
Well, the hard part is going to be if you've got that kind of volume coming in from the north, whether it's along the existing Drew Bay Road alignment or another alignment, it's got to feed into somewhere. Come. And if you drop it into a two-lane facility, you don't really gain anything by having a wider facility earlier on.
See, the original plan was to go from Smelter Road and then turn down along that for several miles.
What about going down, what is this called right here? Sorry, I don't know what north that is.
That's 2400 north.
What if whatever the Ochre Express connects in to that and relieves some of the...
That 2400?
This is 2400.
Yeah.
The problem you're going to get is 1,000 north is the furthest north that you get across the tracks.
Oh,
so if you're not, if you're tying in anywhere north of that, all you're doing is feeding the bottom. Because 2,000 won't ever get widened enough to, doesn't have enough room to take on a five-lane feeder. And 2,400, you won't get west of the existing Drew Bay Road alignment because it doesn't cross there either.
Right.
So unfortunately, 1,000 north is probably your first and possibly best, if not only, option for that to tie in if you're looking for traffic dispersion.
But if you go down to the 33rd Parkway, then you got an opportunity to go clear to Sheep Lane.
Correct. But you still have a railroad crossing there that doesn't exist today.
Right.
You're correct. That's probably the best way for traffic dispersion. You're stopping further north, which then you'd have to plan on continuing southbound traffic.
But that would give us a better opportunity because you could drop down onto that and then hit Sheep Lane and hit Mid Valley Highway.
That's correct.
And so that's another, what we're looking at is interconnectivity, but also exclusivity so that we can take one road if there's one that's plugged up.
That'd be nice if it was a loop, though.
Yeah, that really would be.
You know, the right-of-way is already, you know, because then it can feed into Tooele this way instead of feeding in Tooele, coming clear in and then dropping down in. Yeah. If it fed into it this way, it might be a better disbursement of traffic than...
Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of possibilities. What we have to do is to look 10 to 15 years or 20 years in the future and say, look, these subdivisions that are proposed down in IRTA, 200, 300 homes, are not going to be sold out for 10 years.
Right.
You know, on the one down here at Lake Point, that won't be sold out. It's been going 20 years. There's 400 homes. They've got 2,600 homes possibility in there, but that's going to take years to develop that.
Right.
And so what we're trying to do is to make it the simplest, best way that we can with the least amount of impact on all the people, and yet provide what they need. The Mountain Valley Corridor is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as that came through, everybody said, why are you building clear out there? Well, now go look at it. No, 10 years later, look at it.
For sure.
Levi, real quick.
Yes?
While that's going on, is there any thought of anything like similar to what UTA has in the Ogden area of building a track alongside of the existing?
So well, I think that's what we talked about earlier, right? Was the feasibility study.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, there's no plan right now to do that, and it's not really in a vision or anything, but if we do a long-term feasibility study, we can look at it, you know, what would the demand be, what would it take to build something like that, or not just look at that in isolation, but what are all the long-term alternatives for transit in the valley, and that, you know, that could be one of them be looked at, and then, you know, at the end of a study you could get a recommendation for what the best option would be.
Because I thought either something there or even along this railway, because that railway, if it dropped you into the airport, you know, along the west side, and like maybe there was a collector over there in the Lake Point, you know, area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But UTA is planning bus service from the airport more regularly.
Right.
To Tooele, so that we've got a link there that doesn't cost as much as going clear into the middle of the city.
Right. Okay. I just thought with the inner, what is it called, the inland port though? Because aren't there plans to possibly make that even more transit friendly as far as trying to get people to and from there?
The inland port?
Yeah.
It'll be a while.
Right, but plans. I mean,
yeah, it is a little bit difficult to service industrial areas with transit because the jobs are pretty dispersed. You know, if you put a bus stop somewhere, it's likely people are going to have to walk a mile to get to their job. Whereas if you go to a more dense urban area, there's a lot more jobs. I
was just wondering if they were thinking of that. But if they do, just to include Tooele County in it too.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a lot of demand from Tooele County to the inland port for sure. So.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. And so, thank you. That's we'll work with you to make sure we get this right. So,
well, we appreciate that, and we also need to look at Grantsville and Burmester, the improvement on Burmester, which will allow that end of the valley to be able to get out and get an access without plugging up this other road. Even if there's going to be extra lanes on exit 99, so that we really appreciate UDOT doing that. That was a courtesy to fix those bridges and put those extra lanes. So,
very good.
Thank you.
Very good. All right. So, let me just, for sake of moving the discussion forward, let me just suggest, what if we did a 30-day public comment period through February, or during the month of February, basically, and did our next RPO meeting in March? Would that throw people off?
Or? Does that give you and your staff enough time to assimilate all the comments?
It would give us, so maybe what we should do, thank you. I'm used to, I won't go there, but excellent question. So maybe we should go the middle of January-ish to the middle of February and meet sometime in March, and then make sure the RPO get direction. Final direction from the RPO, and then we've still got a couple months after that to finalize or make a final adoption, in May or early June time frame. But what do you think?
I would be more concerned about you and your staff having enough time to deal with the comments and making plan adjustments in addition to the time window, because a plan like this, there really isn't a time of year other than avoiding holidays, which it sounds like you're already doing, for receiving comment.
Right.
I've been on your side of the table too. It takes some time to go through all those comments and adjust the plan if need be too.
Right. Okay.
Would a window of mid-January to mid-February be a little better for you, so you can deal with that?
Yeah, I think if we did that, then depending on the timing of the RPO meeting in March, I think we'd be able to have at least a good month to assimilate.
There's only going to be three comments, so what's it?
Well, I'm dating myself, but that's how it used to be, that's for sure. So,
well, it really did. That was the way it was.
Yep. Is that acceptable if we do mid-January through mid-February and then plan on a March RPO meeting? Okay.
Yeah, and Wayne, I don't need to bring him up in this meeting, but Eric had some comments on the draft plan, just kind of minor comments. So it might be easier just to send them to you. It doesn't significantly change the content, just a few comments for you. So if we can get, super. I guess we should get those to you soon so
that
you can incorporate them before January.
That sounds good.
Right?
Yeah, and if we see anything significant, we'll circulate it to the group.
Mentioned shuffle here, mentioned flexor out here, but nothing huge, good. Just in the narrative.
Okay, great.
Commissioner Bittner, was the Ochre Express, would it be phase one or still phase two? Because phase one is like already in the concept and already kind of...
We are doing everything we can to get into phase one, but it's going to be right at the end of it.
Okay.
I mean, there'll be no more funding for at least 4 years that I'm aware of.
That's correct.
And so if we can get in on that cycle at the end of 4 years, then we've got a terrific opportunity. Otherwise, we're out in the woods. And so everything we can do to get the right-of-way established, and then the right-of-way secured, that is purchased or donated, whichever it is, and then start on the EIS, then we've got an opportunity for funding, you know, during that time period. You know, the state may have an extra $1 billion again, like they got this year, you know, and we would take advantage of that, but that's the next funding cycle. So before that, I'm not sure there's anything available.
Because I don't know if it's advantageous to bump it into the red instead of the blue, or I don't know.
Would there be any harm, Wayne, if you put it in the red, knowing it would be towards the end? If it doesn't get done, it just naturally slides into the blue, but I think there's more harm or perceived harm if you put it in the blue and try to bump it to the red.
Right. That's what I'm saying, is if it's...
Yeah, I didn't mean to imply in the second, but I'd say in the red, as you mentioned, we can bump it if we need to, but let's be proactive instead of reactive. And UDOT frequently is reactive because they don't want to make a mistake, right on. They want to do it right the first time, so they don't have to do it again, and all they do again is widen it out. So we've got to have enough width to make something work.
Okay. Great. Thank you. That sounds good. As far as city newsletters go, city and county newsletters, is that desirable to get the public comment period announced in those?
You bet.
Should I? Can I work with Jim?
Yeah.
James, thank you.
Yeah, we'll get it in January's.
Okay.
And then
we can coordinate that. The earlier you can get it to me, the better, but we can certainly get that coordinated on our end.
Okay.
And please include Grantsville in this.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll do.
And then will you be putting anything on the Wasatch Front Regional Council?
I will verify that is feasible.
Okay.
But I believe we should be able to.
Okay. And then I will get that out to entities too.
Great.
Kim will get more than three comments.
Four. Okay, four.
All right.
You know, the sad thing is when we do planning like this and people are not willing to come out and let their voice be heard, and then as soon as we do something, everybody complains because they didn't get their voice heard 2 years earlier, and so they're really frustrated. So we want more than four.
Very good. Agreed. Thank you. All right. Appreciate that good discussion, and we'll give some time to Levi with you today.
Yeah, and it shouldn't take 20 minutes. It should be quicker than that, unless you want to talk about it for that long. I'd be happy to. So this is our current service proposal, and I should mention that I'm kind of filling in for Eric Callison, our service planning manager, on this. He's done the majority of the work on this. But this is the service proposal for August 2019. So right now we have three routes coming in and out of Salt Lake. The 453, which runs from Tooele, goes through the International Center, the airport into downtown. The 451, which is an express that goes directly into downtown. And then the 454, which connects into Grantsville and makes the same loop that the 453 does at the International Center. So in general, there's some redundancy in service. And so what this proposal would do would be to be able to increase the frequency by getting rid of some of that redundancy in service. It also adds quite a few more trips to Grantsville. Right now there's only one trip on the 454, and it's not very useful to very many people when you only have one time to get back and forth. So it would there'd be the same amount of trips on both of them. The key to this proposal is to have a coordinated transfer of Benson Gristmill, both going out and coming back in. So the buses would wait for each other so people could transfer, because someone from Tooele, for example, trying to get to the airport would want to transfer, and someone from Grantsville who just wants to get to downtown could transfer at the Benson Gristmill. Yeah, so where right now, someone riding the 454, a lot of them go to downtown, but they, the transfers aren't coordinated, and so they stay on the bus, and it takes about 20 minutes longer to get downtown on the 453 or the 454. So the other thing that we're still working through right now, but there's a note on here, is to have a flex route that provides midday service. So right now there's only peak service. If we run a fixed route bus all day long, we actually don't have enough funding to pay for that, because that triggers paratransit service, which almost doubles the cost. That'd be on-demand service for people with disabilities. If we run a flex route, we don't necessarily need to run paratransit service, but similar to the flex route that's in Tooele, within 3/4 mile, people could call in. So someone, that needs the bus to get to their house anywhere along the route could call in and get a deviation, and that would probably connect in on North Temple by the state office building. It's not really drawn on this map. We're still kind of working out the details of that, but that would run probably hourly, but throughout the day, so that you could connect to Tooele throughout the day. Essentially, this proposal, that the lines that are drawn on the map, we could pay for without the Proposition 1 funding that was passed. The flex route service would be paid for with the Proposition 1. That's kind of the rundown. So this is actually a revised plan. There was a proposal to do something different, connecting the 454 only to Benson Gristmill, but we got a lot of feedback from riders that didn't like that so much, and we took those into account and made some adjustments. We think that this should suit people's need. Another thing that we're proposing is to lower the fare. So the 451 right now costs $5.50. A lot of people ride the 453 all the way to downtown because it costs $3 less to do it. Even though they just want to go downtown, they don't want to go to the airport or anywhere else. So if we could reduce the fare, a lot of the people that are taking the 453 now, we think we'll just take the 451 to get into downtown, and then you could connect to other, transit lines in there. It's just a quick connection. It's kind of the main hub for the system, so.
So are you doing away with 453 with this new proposal?
Yeah, I mean, it would be replaced with the flex route in the midday. That's essentially the same alignment, but it wouldn't go all the way downtown. It would probably go to the state office. It's once you get downtown, it's slow and you know, time is money. You're paying a driver, and so if we could just connect into tracks, and it can just come back and forth to Tooele throughout the day. So the people that might not like this are the people riding the 453 from Tooele trying to get to either the International Center or the airport, because they would need to transfer at Benson Gristmill.
So is that an additional cost for them?
No, it wouldn't be an additional cost. It would just be getting up and getting on another bus.
Okay.
But if we could coordinate the transfer, it shouldn't be too bad. There's a handful of people that do that. There's actually more coming into downtown. And we think about a half a dozen people when they get to the Benson Gristmill basically will transfer between each bus. So that's key, is that transfer, as well as the fare. We have to, if we can't lower the fare, that it's kind of an equity issue between Tooele and Grantsville, because it'd be more expensive to come from Tooele than it would from Grantsville if we can't lower the fare on the 451, since this does replace the 453.
So this includes community input?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're continuing that. You know, this is our plan at this point in time. We'll continue to take community input and make adjustments, but.
Because the commissioners had a meeting about transportation, and there was some bus people there.
Yeah.
And one was the concerns of the transferring and the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the different routes with, you know, one costing more than the other. And so that's what my takeaway. I'm sure there was more, but that was my takeaway from it. So I just make sure.
Yeah. And you can transfer between routes without any cost for, although that this, the 451 right now has that premium fare. So. I mean, I guess technically, if you right now, unless we do change the fare, it would be an additional cost. But that's why that, you know, changing, lowering the fare would be key. So I don't know if there's any comments or any suggestions.
Well, if you can make it really available to people, then they'll go ahead and follow it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the key is more people riding, and then you can reduce the fares and still do it economically.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why we think we could reduce the fare is the majority of the people that take the bus now have passes,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them through the state or the LDS Church, or there's a lot of different companies that have these passes. There's few people actually paying the fare on a day-to-day basis. You know, most people are kind of regulars, they have the pass. This would make it affordable for people that are using it occasionally, maybe for services and things like that. So they'd be a little bit more full. We think the buses will be a little more full with this proposal. If we need to add more trips, you know, we can look at that if we're having overcrowding issues.
You probably won't for a little while.
No, I mean, you know, the buses are, I think we average about 40 riders, or the bus loads about 40 riders per day, per trip on the 451, and we have about 57 seats. So, I mean, it's not empty, but it's has a little bit of room to grow.
Thank you, Levi. Any other comments or questions for Levi? No. Just please.
Can I just add one more thing? I mentioned before about the, you know, this is obviously the short range plan, the very short range next year. We're looking at the possibility of doing this feasibility study And that would take coordination, you know, with the county and the cities. I'm wondering if the representatives in this group are the best people to contact on kind of a follow-up discussion on this, or, you know, we'd like to facilitate a discussion just to see, you know, what people are thinking there, or...
What do you think?
Were there others that you'd refer me to?
Do you meet with Sissy with transportation?
We can definitely invite Sissy.
Yeah, and she's invited in this group.
Right. So
unless you think there's somebody else that ought to be...
I mean, and it doesn't need to be everyone in this, it's in this group necessarily, but, you know, representatives from each entity at least to start talking about this.
And I think it's a forum that's already getting together, and so
okay.
if it works,
okay.
I think it'd be a
okay.
good choice.
Sounds good.
Great, thank you. One quick question: the proposed flex route, does that use all of the Prop 1 money, or
no?
Do you have an idea of what percentage of the Prop 1?
No, because a lot of the, you know, the Prop 1, we've already used some of the funding for to expand the shuffle and the flex route that runs locally.
Right.
So I think it's just the kind of the remaining. We're also, you know, looking to use some of the funds for the facility.
Okay.
So no, it doesn't. It wouldn't be the whole thing.
All right.
I'm not sure if it's like. I mean, my guesstimate would be close to half of it to run that.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I can't remember. I don't have an agenda in front of me. Let's see. Juan, you're up next.
Okay. So design of Mid Valley is complete. And we've got our advertisement package ready to go. We're nearly 3 months into our application with the for the 404 permit with the Army Corps of Engineer, and we've got initial comments back, and there's only really just one from the EPA. I don't know what it is yet. So the next process in that is to get that comment, respond to it, resubmit. See if they have any counter comments, and then it goes through approval process. So I am hoping to hear more good news, and I'm waiting to hear good news so that I can release the package for advertisement, because I don't want to release it and then have the contractor just wait.
For sure.
So at this time, I'm thinking it's going to be in the fall for construction. Although, if they should come back and everything's hunky-dory, we could start as soon as summer.
Our Army Corps of Engineers can be very slow.
They're the lead agency. They're the lead agency for the permit, but they're not the only one. Like I said, like EPA and other
I'd be happy to contact them again. I'd be happy to contact them if you thought that would help.
Yeah.
I did that on another project and it did help.
It's not been predictable so far. Anyway, so that's where we are at. We're working for clearing right away. There's still a few. Three property owners that we're still coordinating with, so it's not entirely cleared. However, the permit is our critical path, because we could still work as long as we have the permit.
Sure.
So once it's started, it takes 2 full years to complete the project. More than half of that time is for a settlement of the just the soil. The actual construction is not a big deal.
But once that settlement has started while you're waiting the construction for the road can be taken care of.
Yeah, we'll do build subgrades, we'll build hauling routes, that sort of thing, while the settlement is happening.
Sometimes that's short, sometimes it's long, isn't it?
Yeah. So.
How far is our bridge out here settled, do you know?
Gosh, I don't know. Black Rock was, it...
It's about 15 inches on the north and 7 inches on the south right now.
Good.
Or 6 inches on the south.
Yeah. That's why you're putting in concrete and steel right now?
Well, actually, right now we're putting in the concrete and steel. It's unaffected by the settlement, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How much are you anticipating for settlement?
I think they said they were thinking like 18 inches, sorry, on the north. So
they're getting close.
Yeah, it's slowing down for sure.
Can we go jump up and down on it right now?
I don't know if it'll make that much of a difference. Go ahead and do it though. Okay. It'll speed it up.
Kids, let's go sledding.
Yeah.
No, Grandma, not there.
Yeah.
Any question, other questions or comments for Will?
Okay. That's all I have, and then I also have Tom's Lane and Burmester Road ready to start whenever.
Really? Mm-hmm. Good. I appreciate that.
Appreciate your being here.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I should have said that in the beginning. I'm the project manager for Granite Construction on the I-80 project. Kevin Farley asked me to come to this meeting. I think he's coming in the past. But yeah, so we started construction a little less than a month ago, I think. We got NTP on November 17th, and probably seen us out there building since then. We got the temp pavement down. We probably got 90% of the temp pavement down for the temporary bridge on I-80 a couple weeks ago. So that's kind of where the temporary bridge is going to go. And then we've started the bridge construction there at 36. We've got the center bents going forward. And we're hoping to erect girders over I-80 beginning middle of February. And just keep that going throughout the winter. And the surcharge will kind of continue. We're monitoring it, but a lot of that surcharge material is going to I-80. So even once the settlement is stopped, it'll still sit there until we're going to reuse that material on I-80. So we're not wasting any material. So it'll kind of sit there for a little bit longer than it probably necessarily has to. But that's just to be efficient and cost effective for the project.
On your bypass lane. Right now, is that two lane or is it just single?
It will be two.
So you'll put a barrier down the middle, or how?
Mm-hmm. There'll be a barrier down the middle, and then
Jersey barrier.
Yeah, just and you'll see a lot of it's already out there. There's kind of two or three rows of barrier out there, so we kind of hauled it out there to get it out there. So that spring, all we have to do is place it in place. Yeah, but there will be two lanes in each direction. Two lanes on the temporary bridge. The temporary bridge will be 30 feet wide, I believe, or 28 feet wide or something. It'll be two lanes wide. The temporary bridge will be two lanes wide. And the existing eastbound bridge will be westbound, but that's two lanes wide as well. So, I mean, there will be some off-peak lane closures as there is now, but during peak hours, there'll be two lanes in each direction, Monday through Friday.
And so what you'll be planning is run everything down the south while you reconstruct the north.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll shift over the north while you reconstruct the south, and you'll still use the temp.
No, the new bridge is wide enough for four lanes of traffic.
So on the north side?
Yeah, both bridges will temporarily hold four lanes of traffic. They're like 56 feet wide or whatever.
Okay.
They're designed for three permanent lanes, but they'll hold four temporary lanes. So we'll switch all the traffic to the north and then build the southern half.
And then take the temp bridge out as well.
Yeah, we'll do that at the same time as we're building the south one. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll probably take it out in big chunks and get it away from our construction, kind of deconstruct it away so we're not slowing down the process. But yeah, we will deconstruct it.
So will it be constructed in place or slide on?
It's all going to be constructed in place now.
Okay.
The temporary bridge has replaced the slide.
Well, that's exciting.
It is.
commuters. We appreciate you doing that.
It's a busy year next year for us, so.
Work fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're good. So it doesn't fall down.
That's for sure. That's the most important thing.
Yes.
It's going to be there for a long time.
Very good. Any other questions or comments for Pat? All right. Thank you. At last meeting, a question was raised on who are the official members of the RPO, and the answer was there are three of them. There's the Twilla City Mayor, there's the Grantsville City Mayor, and one of the County Commission. And the question was raised whether it might make sense to have each of those official members appoint an alternate so that if they're not able to be here and some action more than approving the minutes could proceed without or with an alternate here in their place. So, and that ability to designate an alternate is at the top of the page 2 or the back side of the first page. And so just wanted to get people's thoughts and comments, see if there's interest in alternates being appointed or not, and also if there are any other comments or questions on the bylaws, you're welcome to bring those up as well.
I think from the commissioner it's pretty easy. Just be one of the other commissioners.
Yes. Agreed.
I'll pass this on to Mayor Marshall.
Okay.
Yep. Let me get with you on it.
Thank you. Any other comments or suggestions in that regard? All right. Thank you. And let's see. When do the city newsletters go out in January? Do you guys know?
The city newsletter really send out so that it comes. Yeah, goes with the utility bill. Really, it's there before the 1st of January. We send it out the last week of December.
Okay.
And the deadline to get things in there is, really would like it between the 15th and the 20th at the very last minute.
Yeah.
The 20th is like a drop-dead deadline.
I'll just say by the 15th.
That'd be even better. That would be great. And really, all of those go to Shiloh. And I can get you her email address.
All right.
That will help.
Let's see, James, I don't know how long you've been in your current position, so maybe I'll give you a call and follow up on timing. And
for the newsletter?
For the newsletter.
Yeah. Oh, I'll let you know when exactly the hours comes in. I'll ask. I'll find out.
Great. Sounds good. Thank you. Super. Great. Any other business?
I'll just mention that the active transportation amendment to the general plan was passed last commission meeting, so I'd like to thank the commission for that. And the ordinance for any new development to incorporate some type of walking and biking path was passed, and so I'd like to approach and Grantsville with that at some point in time, that maybe they would like to look at it and possibly adopt something similar for their new development, but just look at it and think about it. So it is being the final write-up, and so Tim Sullivan that did that is putting it all together, and it will be up on the Twilla County Facebook, Twilla County webpage and the Health Department webpage. So it'll be the plan and the ordinance itself. I did present the ordinance at some meetings in Salt Lake, and I've got like three separate entities in Salt Lake
looking at possibly adopting or trying to adopt that into their municipality. So it was kind of, people were impressed with it. So it's quite a concept of different types of development have different types of routes and then different types of routes that they can choose from. So it's not like sidewalks everywhere, which some people obviously have heard rural areas like I don't want sidewalks, so it's pathways or right. or something like that, proposing how to put them in place instead of, you know, or shared use roads, how to design a road for shared use, like in rural areas. Maybe it's, you know, driving in one direction and there's dotted lines on both sides, so there's walking and biking, but when you're a car, you pass accordingly. So anyway, it was really nice to see that adopted, so thank you. So
when do you think that will be available?
I'm hoping soon. So I know that the planning department at the county was working on getting on that final writ right up. So what I'll do is I'll email a link to you when that comes up.
That'll be nice.
Kind of neat news.
And I should mention, if anyone has any comments on the service plan I handed out, something comes up, I've got Eric Kellison's business card here if you want to grab it on the way out. Yell at him and not me. Or me. Or me too. I'm glad to happen. I'm glad it was thinking this up to me.
I'm gonna start
handing out your cards.
Amen. I've got a few left.
He told me to hand them out or else I would have just
Great. Well, anything else? Thank you very much. Appreciate your participation. We will, after I can coordinate with Jim, I'll send out maybe a series of appointments for calendar year 2019 for the RPO meetings and so forth.
Just a question on that, reflecting back on that earlier conversation. The next meeting, if we follow the typical pattern, will be February.
Right.
If we're going to be convening in March to talk about planning, do we want to forego that meeting and or April's meeting?
So, good question, and I'll leave it up to all of you. I think my preference would be to meet once in March and not meet in February and not meet in April. But if you guys would prefer something different, we'll do it.
Typically it gets driven by business. We've got business to meet, so
yes.
I'm kind of in your boat. The fewer meetings, the better. But, a little more efficient that way. But if there's business to be met, no problem.
Okay.
Schedule a room.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, let's plan on the second Monday in March, just so that you have a date to associate with.
The 11th.
Thank you. March 11th. So let's plan on that, assuming the room's available.
I'll check and verify with you.
Thanks. And if anyone has a need to meet before then, please let me know and we'll be happy to.
Does Commissioner Bittner want one before he goes? No. Thank you for your
Thank
time.
You.
Appreciate it.
Very good. Yeah, thank you. For sure. Very good. Thank you. We'll stand adjourned.